Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
So one thing has become clear this year is that most of our new customers at Coldesi and Coleman & Company, if they're adding new machines to their shop or they're just getting into business, one or the other, one thing is really clear is that they're not doing just t-shirts, or sometimes they're not doing t-shirts at all. I mean, if you've been to any trade shows or if you get the emails from Graphics Pro or Impressions or any of those folks, and even in the Coldesi emails, you'll see almost a 50-50 ratio between information about custom t-shirts and information about not custom t-shirts. So things like the embroidery grip for Avanti embroidery machines and cutters and spangle machines are getting more popular. We even just did a great new video with Mark and Hannah did recently about making custom whiskey glasses with digital heat effects. So that's what we're going to talk about in this podcast today. Hi, my name is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila. And today we're talking about thinking outside of the t-shirt. And it's just about what you said, Mark, there. It's right now, a lot of folks, when they start up their business or they might have been in business for a while and are in a little bit of a rut, and they're mainly making t-shirts or polo shirts, or I'd say even hats, you know, could be in that line. But they're doing the very traditional things, and they're doing what people are asking for, which your customers come to you and they say, hey, we need some t-shirts for this event. Okay, I'll make you those shirts, you know, money exchange profit. But we're trying to figure out a way to expand that and to grow. Right.
Yeah, because I mean, one of the things that motivated me to start looking at this is trolling YouTube videos on the custom apparel business. And there's a lot of talk about the difference in profitability between making a custom t-shirt and doing some of these side projects like promotional products and things like that. So you could also almost consider it, t-shirts, custom t-shirts, or if you're into embroidery, then custom embroidered polos are probably the most competitive marketplace for the products you can produce with your equipment.
Oh, and I'd say, really, I think what it's about when we start looking at that and the profitability of the different items, right? And this is really going to depend on your niche and who you're selling to, right?
Yeah.
Because you can, if you're selling to a bit of a high-end user, and you're purchasing high-end polo type of garments, you know, moisture-wicking shirts and doing embroidery that's hard to do on, things like that, you might be charging particularly a lot for these polos. They might be $50+ and your cost is in the 20s. So you could be in a great spot in there, but not somewhere else. Conversely, yeah. Like you said, though, I mean, some of the polo stuff, if you're doing the low-end type of stuff, there's going to be giant shops out there that are going to sell it with the embroidery for $9.99.
Yeah.
And you're buying it for $8.99.
And I don't want to say that you're not still making money in t-shirts. We haven't noticed any change in the profitability of our customers. Mm-hmm. Every time we survey anyone for the past 3 or 4 years, it's been, you can make $10 to $15 a t-shirt, right in that range, for print or embroidery, and sometimes it's a lot more. So it's not to say that you can't make money in custom tees, it's just to say that there's often less competition and more profitability per item if you just go like one step out of your comfort zone or what you're used to doing.
Yeah, and really doing something that other people are less likely to offer. Anytime something is more scarce, it's worth more money, right? I mean, that's just essentially how things work in the world. So if all the shops in your area, if all the competition that you're dealing with, if you have a handful of competition or a lot of competition, if they're all offering the same thing that you are, you're probably going to be in a lower margin on those products because you're competing against multiple people and it's a race to, you know, who might sell it for the cheapest or whatever it might be. But if you're the only one that's really pushing with the whiskey glass example, as you mentioned, and if everyone's offering the same things out of the same catalogs with the same ideas, and you come with this new idea that nobody else is doing, then you more than likely can sell that for more money because the competition is less, right?
Yeah, I think the whiskey glasses are a good example, not just because I would use them on such a regular basis.
Okay.
but because it is something that, you know, really, like, it was your idea, I think, that, you know, you get this brand new product that none of us had even thought of. And this whole world opens up to you of not only, you know, other things that you might produce other than just the whiskey glasses, but customers that might want to purchase those. You know, I mean, maybe if you are used to selling regular, you know, you're in the custom t-shirt business, wedding favors of custom whiskey glasses is a great idea, you know, and then going from that into imprinting on wooden hearts for wedding favors or doing custom handkerchiefs for weddings and things like that. You know, you start to like snowball into these side niches that are really profitable, and, you know, you're not going to have everybody knocking on your customer's door saying, hey, you know, here are two cool new things that I can do, you know, is I can do custom whiskey glasses and I can do, you know, embroidered koozies. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, you make a good point, you know, in talking about these things and you made a good point in bringing up this podcast, I think. And the reason is when you're out there, and I was just really thinking about this a lot over this past weekend, actually, when you first came up with the idea, or was yesterday? Yesterday.
One of those.
Last night.
We've been busy.
I've been busy. There's been a lot of things going on. Yeah. But anyway, I sat down for probably about 15 minutes and I was really just thinking about this and looking at going into custom apparel startups and looking at what people are talking about and looking at what captures attention. Then I went into some of our email open rates and click rates and things like that, and looked at some items that we sold. And when something is particularly unique or different, then it captures more attention in general.
Right.
So posts, somebody had posted about making glasses and printing on glass, and someone else had posted about printing on wood. And there was a lot of comments underneath there. People were interested. Right. This looks very cool. This is very interesting. Then we look at our emails, and we see, you know, UV printing on a guitar and UV printing on a toilet seat are some of the emails that got a lot of attention. Printing on a t-shirt catches a lot of attention for sure, and it does great. But when we show somebody printing on a mug, that captures a little bit more within our audience, right? Because printing on mugs is nothing new, but a lot of folks out there listening, or a lot of people out there buying from Coleman and Company right now are typically printing on t-shirts and might not necessarily be looking into the mug business as a good possible profitable endeavor to go down.
Yeah. You know, since you mentioned the mug business, I think I'm going to take an opportunity to do a little commercial.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's hear it.
And that is, I don't know if you have heard this out in CAS podcast land, but Cold Essie has added a new family member to the Cold Essie family of brands, and that is bestblanks.com. So we're still in kind of a transition period at the moment in 2020, but very soon it'll be a lot more integrated into what we do. And bestblanks.com is pretty much the place to go to get sublimation blanks and sublimation printers and inks and toners and things like that. So that is my plug for this episode.
Really? It seems then that this podcast, Mark, was that you picked this topic on purpose.
No, I never do anything on
you
purpose.
Everyone that listens knows me. no, but it's actually a funny coincidence, which is why it was important to bring this up because obviously I don't think that it's any secret that the promotional item business is huge, right? I mean, there's the ASI and all these other things out there, and people have been doing it for years, and it can be a very competitive industry as well, right? I mean, selling pens and things like that out of a magazine, right? You know, I mean, you get, here's your pricing, here's how much money, there's a million different things to choose, there's a million different places to buy it. But really what this comes down to, I think, is about creatively using the equipment that you have. Right. And creatively considering what you're going to do next. So
I like that.
When we mention mugs and whiskey glasses and koozies, we're thinking about things that are fairly uncommonly seen on those. So I have this mug that I did not make, this one, but it's a Waldorf Astoria mug. It's not because I'm that fancy. It's just, it's in my cupboard. Right. So I used it. And this clearly was done with like a laser etching or something like that. But this is very typical of what a mug looks like. It's one color. It's a mildly simple logo. And that's pretty typical. And then there are like sublimatable mugs, right? And that's the ones where you see where there's pictures on them. And it's on a white mug, right? And that's now becoming very common too. Sublimation is really common. But with a digital heat effect system, if you have one, or if you're thinking about investing in one, that's a digital printer that can print on a dark colored mug. So this mug right here, we can put a digital photo of, say, Mark Stevenson's face on it.
You could do that. And you probably should.
Probably. No, we should not do that. But this isn't a horror podcast. But saying that, that is significantly different than what's offered out there.
Yeah.
That's really unique. And I think that when we're talking about thinking outside the t-shirts and offering different things, some of them are just going to be real simple, like just offer koozies. But others are going to be within the equipment that you have, especially if you have some sort of a digital printer, which a lot of the equipment that we sell at Cold SC is digital.
Yep.
And then you can do things that nobody else can. Or not nobody else can, but very few people can within this, the whole, within the entire industry of customization. Yeah, a lot of it is screen printed or sublimated, or using some sort of a sticker material. And these are really going to be limited.
And there's, just like Mark said in the beginning, there's value in that uniqueness. And there's always also value in just you personally being able to do it. We'll use digital heat effects as an example a lot here, because if you have a digital heat effects printer, doesn't matter which model, you know, you can do the custom mugs. So if somebody's already coming to you for, you know, for custom t-shirts or for, you know, digitally printed hats or something like that, the idea that they can just come to you and also get a black or a red or a dark blue mug with their company logo on it, or somebody's face or a name, you know, there's profitability in that as well.
Mm-hmm. And you might, if you're less, I can't even get the thought out correctly. if you are one of the few people that's offering something that's a little bit more unique, again, we're going back to that scarcity and what it's worth. So a white mug with a sublimated image on it, or a laser etched mug, which these are going to be common things that can be found out there, are going to have a lower price tag than somebody who's got, say, a dark colored mug with a digital image on it, because you just can't get there somewhere else. And when we're talking, going into digital printing, it's a concept that we've talked about a lot. Someone will say, you know, what's one way to compete against screen printers and things like that? And we'll say, when you're doing your consultation with your customer, if they come to you and say, I want a blue shirt with white lettering on it, you should be selling more colors up front for the same price. Say, okay, well, actually, why don't we do an outline, and maybe we can do a digital image inside. How about leopard print, you know, whatever it might be. And you get them excited about something that you can do that's the same amount of work as if it was just white lettering. Now they're sold and they're excited about this idea. And if they happen to be shopping around or get another referral to look somewhere else, this is what they want now. And they're going to ask this other person to do it. And they're either going to say no, or right. the price is going to be something that they can't do, it that they can't compete with.
Yeah. Or the quantity is going to go up or something
like that. Yeah, absolutely. So this really ties in to all the concepts that we always talk about, but you've got to think outside of what you normally do and do something different. So maybe we can talk about, we went out there and we surveyed out customers and wholesalers and things of that. We can mm-hmm. talk about what are some popular items. We got a little list.
And I'm laughing because it is, I'm going to say it the way it should be said, is okay. Apparently fanny packs are really popular again.
Yeah.
What's the new name now? They're called hip packs.
Well, now it's
cool. And they're on ColemanandCompany.com. I could never wear one because in my head, they're still fanny packs.
Well, let me ask you a question. I see when people wear a fanny pack, they usually wear it in front of them, okay. right? But isn't your fanny behind you?
It depends on if you're in Britain or not.
Really?
Yes. If you're in the UK, a fanny pack has a completely different meaning than it does.
Okay. I'm not going to Google that right now, but
don't take your word for it. But you know, it is like an interesting item because it's small, it's fabric, it's easy to print, and it's also a great product for embroidery as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do monogramming of a variety of kinds on a hip pack.
Yeah.
As well as being able to do to put digital heat effects or something along those lines on. So that's something that the cost on those is what I think it's $5.
Yeah, I mean, you can get something like that for less than $5, and you can decorate them in numerous ways. You got to get a little creative with this stuff, right? Because now we're talking about this is where we're talking about you being a business owner and really thinking about things and figuring stuff out. Because this item is going to be harder to get on an embroidery machine than a T-shirt or a polo shirt or something like that. It's going to be a harder gift to get flat on a heat press. So you've got to get creative with this stuff. And it's just like doing the masks, which have been really popular for a little while now. And a lot of people are calling into support because they can't figure out how to get the mask flat on a good heat press.
Right.
And so we've made some videos with some tips and tricks and things like that. But this is really about, you know, this is the stuff that will make you a winner over other folks, you know? So two things really that if you are a Cold Essie customer, that you've just got a team to call in so you can get the collective knowledge of what a lot of other people are doing. But also just about you figuring out how to do some of this stuff, because somebody else down the road is going to try to make this hip pack and they are not going to be able to get it flat in the heat press, get frustrated with it, throw it in the corner, and then never sell one.
Right.
When you're selling them for $20 a piece.
Yeah.
And you're buying them for less than $5 and you're putting a quarter design on it.
It's funny. I did look a little earlier. The cost on them is $4.78 from Coleman Company, and a typical retail is around $16.
Okay.
So you know that's you're at
research there.
$11, you know, plus whatever your design time and materials are.
Yeah.
You know, this was just like that retail price is just a simple embroidered monogram. It's not a color image. It's not a company logo. You know. So the least expensive, and what else I like about this kind of product is that, you know, it's a natural addition. I mean, imagine if you're doing family reunion t-shirts,
mm-hmm.
you know, how many of those people are going to want a hip pack to go with it?
Yeah.
You know, or maybe there's a niche market that particularly loves those, you know, that you could get into.
Europeans?
Could be. You know, so if you sell black socks and Birkenstocks,
okay,
know, to tourists,
yeah.
then the fanny pack idea could be big.
Well, there's I go to theme parks a lot, and I like doing any outdoor types of things. And anywhere I go, whether it's going hiking or biking or theme parks, things like that, you will always see groups of people wearing custom T-shirts.
Yeah, right?
That's just It's just everywhere. You know, people love to do that. They're going to go on a trip. They want custom t-shirts. These are all places where the hip pack works too.
Yeah. And, right? And you know, what I like about it too is that just like, Mark, I know you did a video on kitting where you decorate an apron.
Yeah.
Like for barbecue or cooking or whatever, that there's a lot less size variation.
Now, oh, okay.
For the hip yep. pack, you know, yeah. everybody's going to order one. There's not a small, medium, extra large. This runs a little bit small. It's this brand. It's this cut. So it doesn't wash as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're just going to order these and decorate them and let the folks figure out how to adjust the size.
Okay.
It's the same way with the apron. Yeah. You know, there's only two different kinds. There's the short one, and then there's the full size 30 inch. So you're really reducing your inventory risk, you know, and you're upping your potential customer satisfaction by selling these things, because 100% of the people are going to get them and it's going to be fine.
Yeah. And you can, this is an item that you can keep some in stock even.
Good point.
And easily add on as an upsell.
Yeah.
So, I know I've talked to some folks before and they say, you know, actually, we prefer, and again, this will go back and forth, right? There's companies where they want to add on extra spots on shirts anytime they can. So they yep. want to do the left chest and the back and the side, because each one of those things are going to sell more. They're going to sell it for a higher price, right? Yep. Other folks will think the opposite of that. I just want to do the front, because then I don't have to worry about any of the hassle of doing the other things. I don't have to worry about making a mistake in the third step and having to start over. So there's a little bit of back and forth on these things. And when it comes to items like aprons and hip packs and koozies, when they are one size fit all, and then there's less of that risk and hassle. People will come out there and say, like, I don't want to sell the hats because hats is doing a little bit harder. I'd rather try to sell them something else. Right. And they're putting something off because they're not a master of it yet or whatever it might be. And they don't like that as an upsell. But all these items, you know, coasters and glasses and all the things that we've named so far, I like them because they're easy to decorate. They're easy to keep in stock. And if you keep they're one size fits all. Yeah. So it's stuff you can really impulse sell people. Like when they come to pick up their stuff, you can show them an apron, you know, or give them an apron with their design on it and say, by the way, I can make some of these right now for you. They'll take me, you know, they'll be ready in a half hour or an hour or whatever it might be.
Yeah. And I'll tell you you know, it was a little nutty when I looked at the variety in apron prices.
Okay.
Which is a lot less stratifying than custom t-shirts.
Okay.
Custom t-shirts, you know, 15, 20, 25, you know, et cetera. But even for the apron that you can get from Coleman & Company for $5.60, anywhere from $17 to $30.
Hmm.
For the almost exactly the same apron, decorated very simply. I couldn't even find a place that did a full color logo.
Yes.
You know, so you could offer that, you know, full color. You've got to see the video that Mark and Hannah did. You could offer something like that, either full color print or some really nice embroidery, like on the spot when customers mm-hmm. come in. And it's a great upsell. And you'll make as much or more for the same amount of time you would do a t-shirt just by grabbing one off the shelf and putting the print on it.
Yeah. And the thing is like these items are less sought after, right? In regards to popularity.
Yeah.
If you go into your house and you're a normal, sane person, you probably have a drawer with a bunch of t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Then you have one or two sets of coasters and one or two aprons, maybe, you know, maybe more if you have one for each holiday, you know, if grandma probably has more. But that's kind of the way things go, right? So
and don't forget the 10 or 12 different hip packs.
No, you have maybe one hip pack, right? I mean, because these are how you have one or two backpacks you own, one or two lunch boxes, one or two hip packs, You have a bunch of hats and a bunch of t-shirts. And that's why you got into this business, is because everyone buys t-shirts, everyone buys hats. They buy a lot of them. They wear out. And when you know, and I talk to people about it all the time. I'm like, let's look at your t-shirt drawer. You know, what's the oldest shirt in here? You know, maybe there's one or two that's like a decade old that they keep for sentimental value, but most of the t-shirts are gone. They've gotten them within the past few years because they wear out, right? And they know they no longer become viable products. And that's why you got into the t-shirt industry, and why I still like it is because everyone's buying t-shirts, or buying more and more t-shirts and polos and button ups like you're wearing, Mark. And this is something that they're wear and tear items. They always go out. People gain weight, gain muscle, lose muscle, all these things. So it's constantly changing.
Thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really interesting because late last year, we did a lot of research into this idea of fast fashion and, you know, color fastness testing on t-shirts and garments and things like that. When I spoke to people at more than one of these professional labs that do testing, you know, they're kind of amazed that I was talking to them about testing shirts through like 25, 35, 50 washes and more. Because all of the big brands with fast fashion, that means they're bringing in new designs every 1 to 3 months. You know, there's no more regular season. It's a constant switch. And the t-shirts don't last. You know, there's nobody, if you go into like a brand like H&M or, you know, any of the more popular current brands, nobody is talking about how long their t-shirt lasts.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody is talking about, hey, this is a cool t-shirt. In 3 months, you're going to need this new one. You know, where the things that we're talking about, everything except the t-shirt, will definitely last longer and will definitely stay in style for a longer period of time.
Like the
hip. If you're making a novelty mug for someone or a fanny pack or a tumbler or something like that, or an apron, you know, people will have those for a very long time when your t-shirt is gonna, you know, be here and gone tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up too. And kind of circling back to, you know, where we started with that is saying that you got into the t-shirt business because it's a great business to be in for all those reasons. But while you're in this business, while people are shopping there, you can scoop up other things that are outside of your business, like selling coasters the whiskey glasses or mugs or things that they weren't coming to you for. And this concept, I think, is really where it comes into when we start talking about kidding and we start talking about upselling. You go into 7-Eleven and they have the weirdest things up by the counter all the time, right?
That you don't even recognize most of them, Frank.
Yeah, but they just have things up there like who's buying this at a 7-Eleven? And it's because they know throughout their business model over thousands of stores, I'm sure everywhere, that if they throw this random little phone case up by the somebody will impulse buy it, and they'll just buy it because they're there. They came to 7-Eleven to get a drink and some gas. And then they left with a phone case.
I mean, I go shopping for like phone cases and can openers.
Yeah.
And lighters.
Yeah.
Decorative lighters.
Yeah, they do have lots of lighters
for me to pick up.
And so I think that within your t-shirt business, if you're selling t-shirts and polos and things like that, bringing in these other items that are interesting.
Yeah,
can just really fare well for you some of that impulse buy and some of that add on.
And two things I'd say about that is, you know, it works just as well digitally as it does in real life.
Yeah.
So if you have an e-commerce store or if you have an information website that talks about what you do, has images of your designs or, you know, things that people can buy, put some of these not t-shirt products on the front page, you know, just as sidebars and watch what happens. You know, the same thing when you're out in person, if you are visiting people and showing samples and dropping off cards. I mean, stick a cork coaster in your pocket that you've done full color on Digital Heat FX, or a koozie that you've embroidered, you know, and just stick those in your pocket and show them off. And I guarantee somebody is going to fall in love with those things and want just a bunch. And I would also encourage you, once you start doing this, to look for more serious opportunities. You know, I mean, there are businesses out there that just do coasters. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm not saying that could be yours, but it could be a significant part of what you do, is to do this one additional item. And then people might find you for your custom cork coasters, you know, and then end up buying t-shirts as the add-on.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. And that's true. You know, a lot of businesses out there started off with the idea of being one in one place and yeah. ended up somewhere else. So Coldesi, for example, as a company, started off as an embroidery machine selling company. And now most of our products that we're selling are digital products, yeah. digital printing products, when we add them up. Embroidery is still a significant part of the business, but another huge significant part of the business are all these digital products. And the company wasn't started as we're going to sell ways to print things.
Yeah.
We're going to sell ways to computerize embroidery things.
Yeah. I like that analogy. That's good, because I mean, we started off in embroidery, and then it's DTG printers, and then it was automatic rhinestone machines, and then it was spangle machines, and then it was cutters, and then it's Digital Heat FX. And you know, the list still, now it's best blanks, you know, so we keep adding significant parts to our business. And you know, Digital Heat FX is our best selling product. It's our best selling machine now, you know, by a good margin. And that is, you know, we've been doing that for 4 years now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so that's something that we introduced as something else our customers could buy from us. Like mm-hmm. you might add koozies or aprons or hip packs or, you know, coasters or something like that. And now it's our significant product line. So I think that's a good analogy to make.
Yeah. You know? Right. Amazon was used books.
I heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how it starts. So I think it's... another thing to mention is about the kits that we talked about earlier. I didn't want to forget to bring that up again.
Yeah.
But thinking outside of the t-shirt means I'm selling bundles of things together. And a lot of what we've talked about recently is the work from home stuff. And there's two things that are happening a lot right now, right? A lot more people are working from home than they ever have before. Businesses have changed their business models for long-term and short-term. And then in addition to that, there's a lot of movement in the in the market in general as far as employment goes. So a lot of jobs have been eliminated and a lot of new jobs have been created. So there's a lot of people that have moved around careers, or just they used to work at one restaurant and that restaurant shut down and they work at a different one. Right. And this, so there's a lot of movement right now. All of this movement and the working from home combined means that there's opportunities for businesses out there to connect with those companies in a way that's new and different. And one of them is through selling these branded, or not selling, but giving their employees these branded kits of kind of swag per se, these swag yeah. kits. And this can be for the work at home employee, just to make them feel a little bit more connected.
Yeah.
Right. Just to say, you know, hey, you're still part of the family. You know, I just don't see you every day, but you're still part of the family. Or welcome to the family. For all the new employees out there, you give them a hat and a shirt and a apron and a, right. you know, a hip pack. So one of the things about thinking outside the t-shirts, I think that's meant to be, that can be brought up with this when we start talking about kits, is you sell a kit for an idea like this. You know, you're going to a company or you're going to one of your customers. Hey, do you do anything for your current employees? A lot of other people out there, they're making these kits. And a t-shirt is always part of it. And I think that's great. But I also think we could put a mug in there. We could put a hip pack in there. We could put an apron. You know, a lot of people are talking about how they're cooking more than they ever have before. So give all of your staff an apron. Right. And one of the things that I mentioned in the video that we just completed when we were talking about this kitting was if in that example, if it's like a real estate company that you're working with, and a lot of their staff is now working from home, they're disconnected, and you put together a kit for that company to send to all their staff. And it's a t-shirt, maybe a mask, and maybe a can cooler, right? A koozie. But you also get an apron in there too, as one of the gifts that they're giving in this kit. And I said, who would have thought that selling aprons to a real estate company is something you'd ever do?
Right.
They're not connected, right? They're not connected by any means. But when you are thinking outside of just the t-shirt and you're offering things like kits and you're offering them different ideas for their employees or gifts for their customers, an apron actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
No, because people, their employees might be working from home, or their customers might be buying a new home. And in your home is probably the most, the place where you've done most of your cooking.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point. So I like this. I like that you brought up the real estate thing, because I think there's another play for the new homeowners. You know, if you've bought a house recently, a lot of real estate agents will actually give you like a little gift basket or you know, something to greet you there. And the custom apron, the whiskey glasses, the coasters, you know, things that will have your real estate company name on it or your agent name on it. Those people will probably keep those things in forever or until they break, no matter what's on them. I don't know anyone that's thrown away a whiskey glass that wasn't broken, you know, or gotten rid of an apron that was still usable. It doesn't happen. So when you're talking to your customers, of course, you know, if you're talking to that real estate company and you want to make a pitch about what you do, let's send all of your real estate agents this kit. Make them feel like they're still part of the agency, et cetera. But whenever they sell a house, why not 4 whiskey glasses, 4 coasters, an apron, you know, and these other non-apparel things that you can give to your customers that also aren't dependent on how tall they are, how many men or women, if they're kids. You know, I mean, you can send them these non-sized, non-specific items that will just make you a ton of money. Imagine if you can convince a real estate company to send out, you know, $30 to $100 worth of items, you know, to every new homeowner, along with the same kind of thing for every agent. I mean, that's a big win that has nothing to do with t-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a great way to expand your business. And then while we're thinking outside of just doing t-shirts, you know, you have to remember the holiday season and gift giving and all those things. So, for one, remember the 365 day holiday season, which is like the birthday season, you know? So when you're thinking about things like that, you know, think about what are a pool of things that you have available that are, because you might make a custom t-shirt for somebody's birthday for sure, you know, with something that they're interested in, but there's other gifts out there that you can get. I got a glass for as one of my birthday presents actually, and a decorated glass. So these are things to think about. And then also just the holiday season in general, when it's gift giving time, you know, and Christmas, Hanukkah, Happy New Year, Halloween, you know, these are all times where it's not just about custom apparel, but there's a lot of things that people own in their houses that just have to do with the holiday season.
Yeah. I mean, even if you just take Thanksgiving as an example, I mean, you can do embroidered table runners just for Thanksgiving. You know, I mean, you could do, gift items, koozies, you could print place cards for each one of your guests. You could give the kids that you never see name tags so you can tell them apart. I mean, there's just like ton. If you're looking for creative things to do, just think of that that lady that you know that has a special closet for each holiday, or a Mark Vila that you know that has a special closet for each holiday and the things that they might enjoy. You know, I mean, you can get into that business because you can do so many things with any of the pieces of equipment. I mean, with DTG, you can still print on coasters.
Yeah.
You know, you can print on canvas. You could do a family portrait reproduction for every holiday. You know, you can print on paper. You know, you've got Digital Heat FX, which basically is an unlimited promotional products tool, you know, which is one of the reasons that it's so popular. And if you end up really into this idea of doing things other than just t-shirts and it looks to be profitable, then you should probably listen to our podcast on the UV printing boom.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We're selling the junk out of Muto and Compress UV printers right now to do things like travel mugs,
mm-hmm.
which you can also do with DFX, to do tiles, to do poster boards, to do the Coroplast sign, yard signs, you know, welcome to the Stevenson holiday party. Something you'll never see, by the way, on a sign in front of my yard. But, you know, you've got all of those kinds of things that you can produce probably with a lot of the equipment that you've got that you can just kind of talk about and make money with because people are already coming to you.
So I think, you know, at this point in time in this episode, you know, what I'm coming to the, you know, just real conclusion after talking about this is that part of this is being creative and thinking of new ideas or just, you're not, I mean, it's not, you're not stealing somebody else's idea necessarily, but if you see some of your competition doing something or you see something at Target and you look at it and you say, you know what, this would be really cool if it was more customized, you know, and then you take those ideas and run with them. You see if you can do it with the equipment that you have. You go on to like Coleman and Company and, or wherever you might buy any blanks or best blanks. And you look at all the different things that are offered and say, is this something that I can sell to my customers?
Yeah.
And then maybe if our last episode, which was episode 137, we talked about like marketing plans and things of that nature.
The playbook,
the marketing playbook. And you can take these ideas and kind of run them through that to create, to see if that works for you. So you take a look and you say, I wonder if the hip pack things would be popular for Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, like you can put gravy in there.
You can put gravy.
You can have your own little just
stuff your rolls to take home.
Yeah,
you know, nobody will notice.
You put your leftovers in there that you're going to take home because everyone packs up the leftovers, then you forget them.
Take a trip through your local Michael's store or craft store and be inspired. We had a small business up the street that she made tons of money with a vinyl cutter and these plastic pumpkins.
Okay. Yeah.
And she would just put kids' names, logos, different designs. Churches and schools would sell them right next to their real pumpkins, you know, for people that didn't want to do their own carving, you know. So you can also just go into the Custom Apparel Starters Facebook group and ask.
Yeah. And you know, look at what crafters are doing, because crafters, hobbyists have just beautiful ideas and amazing ideas, and because they're doing it for fun. The downside of what the crafters and hobbyists have is they can't make money with it like you can, because they will spend 2.5 hours making one mug.
Right.
And then sell it to their friend for $10, which is like a dollar more than they paid for it. That's not a business, right?
Yeah.
But they're doing it they have a hobby that they love to do, and maybe they charge for something so they can continue to afford to do it. But you as a business owner, you know how to make things profitable and how to make money on them. So take a look at, you know, go into crafting forums or crafting websites, see what they're creating and how they're doing it, and learn a little bit about that. And then see if you can't turn that into something you can do commercially
for
a better price, for faster, what it retails for, and then go back to that playbook and do a little bit of market research with your customers or people you know, or potential like audience, and talk about it and say, hey, you know what I'm thinking about doing is doing custom tumblers for the holidays with like monograms or pictures of grandkids and things like that. Would you be interested in that? What would you pay for something like that? You know, things like that.
I like that. I kind of picture a big checklist of everything that you can think of that would be reasonable to add to your business that you think might be profitable, and just, you know, going through it or saying, here,
yeah,
you know, which one of these things would you be willing to buy from me? Would you be excited to find if you could get customized? And then how much would you expect to pay for something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And I would say, you know, one of the ways to do it is to start looking at it and say, which one of these things is going to be the easiest to make and easiest to buy,
yep,
and most profitable, you know, and put that on the list, and then say, well, what would I like to do? What would be fun for me to make that I would find to be interesting, you know, and you put that on your list, and then you say, what's something I've never seen before? And you put that on your list. And now you've got kind of the really profitable one, the really fun one, the really interesting one. And you go out there and you do a little bit of market research to find out. The other good thing about this business is you can buy a couple or a handful of the hit packs just to practice with them, so you know how to do it. And you haven't invested that much money. You've invested like $25, right? Yep. Maybe. And then you could just start to just try to sell them at that point in time. When you get an order, you order some. So your market research might just be a few hours worth of your time in making a prototype. And then you don't necessarily have, your market research could just be actually trying to sell them.
Yeah, good point. Take a picture of the two that you did.
Yeah.
Send it to your customers with the sample price.
Yeah. Especially if you own the equipment that can do it and you have everything for it, you know, then just go ahead and make a prototype, and for your market research, try to sell them to your customers. You know, don't do that before you buy 150 of them and now they're sitting there, you know?
Right.
But I think that there's just a lot of opportunity out there to make profitable, really profitable items, make more money than you do on just selling just the t-shirts, because you can add more items and get what we've described in the past is kind of getting deeper into your customers, selling your customers more things. Mm-hmm. Because if you go through their businesses and their houses and start looking at all the things that they own, a lot of that stuff they could have purchased from you customized.
That's a good point.
Something, right? Because they have coasters, they have backpacks, they have aprons, they have can coolers. They have tons of hit packs.
Planners that they never use.
Planters?
Planners.
Oh, planners.
I mean, I have planters that I never use. Other people probably have planners.
Yeah. I have a planner outside that I just was working on this past weekend. I have a...
Were you like putting down your to-do list in it?
A planter.
A planter, okay. A
chili pepper plant that I've been growing. It's getting real big.
Nice. I have a planter on my patio upstairs that I put an aloe plant in 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've never done anything else, and it's actually like hanging over the edge. It's like it's attacking the neighbors.
Yeah, I do. I have a scary aloe plant in the front of my house.
It's good story. Yeah. Hashtag Florida stories. okay, so I think we've got quite a bit here for people to chew on. Do you have any instructions or homeworks for our listener?
Sure. So yes. So what you should do is, for one, just look at, list all the things that you sell regularly or have sold, right? Maybe just create, this is some good research for your own business. List everything that you've sold, not by SKU necessarily, unless you really want to be anal about it, but otherwise just by style of what it is. So I sell polo shirts, I sell t-shirts, I sell hats, I sell, and list all the items and try to order them. Even if you don't want to look up the numbers, order them in how many you sell of each. So maybe t-shirts at top, and whatever might be towards the bottom, you know, hats might be towards the bottom for your business. And then look at that line. And for one, just look at what you've already sold and see if it makes sense from the conversation that we've had today. That you should be selling, promoting it, marketing it, trying to sell it to more people. Maybe you've sold coasters one time last year to somebody who asked for them and you made them and then you just never thought about it again and never bothered to try to sell it again.
Good point.
So you already know how to do it. You've already been successful. You have a happy customer with it and you know how much money you made off of it. So there might be items you've already sold in the past that you can just market more. You're not actively trying to sell. Then I would look at that list and say, what else could I add here that could make sense to these customers? And you have to look at your niche customers, who they are, what they're buying, and what else can you add to that? And if you don't have any ideas, then what you said earlier, you know, go to Michael's, you know, go to Michael's, go to Target, Home Goods, wander around, go on forums online, you know, go to Crafter forums, start looking for an idea. And within a few hours, you should have a handful of interesting ideas. And then go to your list and you can look at that. Think about your customers and say, what makes sense? And then start the process of doing a little bit of market research and see if you can't add a few of these things. And then you just actively, and then after when you're done with all of that, then you can actively sell them, like actively sell them. You know, not just have them on a list, but after somebody places an order or they're in the middle of placing an order, say, hey, here's a few add-ons. Here's a few of my favorite ones. And you list the most profitable one, the most fun one, and the most interesting one. And see which one they like.
Send out an email with stuff you didn't know I sold. You know,
That's great. Yeah, I love that.
Reach out to your customers that way and just see what the interest is that way as well.
Yeah. Okay, good then. Well, I think we've gotten somewhere today. We've instilled out a little bit of knowledge, and I think really just this podcast is almost a bit inspirational.
Yeah.
About you can do so much more than you may be doing already, and that's going to turn into money.
Think outside the t-shirt the next time you're thinking about your business. T-shirt. Okay. Hit the show notes for links to some of the products we've talked about and to our new brand, our new cold SE brand, bestblanks.com. This has been Mark Stevenson
and Mark Vila.
You guys have a great t-shirts plus business.
Okay.